About 1 billion years ago, long before the continents had separated to define the ancient oceans, or their own outlines had been determined, a small protuberance jutted out from the northwest corner of what would later become North America. It showed no lofty mountains or stern shorelines, but it was firmly rooted in solid rock and would remain permanently attached to primordial North America. Its position, fixed though it was in relation to the larger landmass, did not long remain at what seemed the northwest corner, because, as we know from studies which flowered in the middle years of this century, the surface features of the Earth rest on massive subterranean plates which move restlessly about, sometimes taking this position or that, and often colliding with one another. In these ancient times, the future North America wandered and revolved at a lively rate. Sometimes the protuberance lay to the east, or to the north, or, more dramatically, the far south. During one long spell, it served as the temporary north pole of the entire Earth. But later, it stood near the equator, and then had a tropical climate. It was, in effect, a fixed attachment to a wildly vagrant landmass. But it bore continuing relation to other would-be continents like Europe, or, more significantly, to the Asia, with which it would intimately be associated. However, if one had followed the errant behavior of this small jutting of rocky land attached to the larger body, one could never have predicted its present position. The destiny of this persistent fragment would be to form the rootstock of the future Alaska. But during this early formative period, and for long thereafter, it remained only that, the ancestral nucleus to which the later and more important parts of Alaska would be joined. During one of the endless twists and turns, about 500 million years ago, the nucleus rested temporarily about where Alaska does today, that is, not far from the North Pole, and it would be instructive to visualize it as it then was. The land, in a period of subsidence after eons of violent uprising, lay not far above the surface of the surrounding seas, which had even yet not separated themselves into the oceans we know. No vast mountains broke the low profile, and since trees and ferns had not yet developed, Alaska, which amounted only to a minor promontory, was unwooded. In winter, even at these high latitudes, a phenomenon which would always characterize northern Alaska pertained. It did not receive much snow. The surrounding seas, often frozen, brought in so little precipitation that the great blizzards which swept other parts of the then world did not eventuate, and what little snow did fall was driven here and there by howling winds which swept the earth clear in many parts, or left it lightly drifted in others. Then, as now, the winter night was protracted. For 6 months the sun appeared low in the sky, if it appeared at all, while the blazing heat of summer came in a season of equal length, when the sun set only briefly. The range of temperature, under a sky which contained less relative moisture than now, was incredible. From 120 degrees Fahrenheit in summer to the same number of degrees below zero in winter. As a consequence, such plants as tried to grow, and there were none that resembled anything with which we are now familiar, had to accommodate to these wild fluctuations. Prehistoric mosses, low shrubs with deep roots, little superstructure, and almost no leaves, and ferns, which had adapted to the cold, clung to the thin earth, their roots often thrusting their way down through crevices in rock. No animals that we would recognize as such roamed this area, for the great dinosaurs were still far in the future, while the mastodons and mammoths, which would at one time dominate these parts, would not begin even their preliminary genesis for many millennia. But recognizable life had started, and in the southern half of the little promontory, tentative forms moved in from the sea to experiment on land. In these remote and formless days, little Alaska hung in suspense, uncertain as to where its mother continent would wander next, or what its climate would be, or what its destiny. It was a potential, nothing more. It could become a multitude of different things. It could switch its attachment to any of three different continents. And when it enlarged upon its ancestral nucleus, it would be able to construct miraculous possibilities. It would lift up great mountains, the highest in North America. It would accumulate vast glaciers, none superior in the world. It would house, for some generations before the arrival of man, animals of the most majestic quality. And when it finally played host to wandering human beings coming in from Asia or elsewhere, it would provide residence for some of the most exciting people this earth has known, the Athapascans, the Tlingits, and much later, the Eskimos and Aleuts.